Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
All right. Hello, friends. Jesus said, "As inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And inasmuch as you've done it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it not unto me." You see, the way we treat others, especially children of God, that's exactly how we are treating Jesus. Listen, friend, the Bible says, without love and without charity, which is love manifested in charitable works, we are nothing. You know, there's so many people running around that have aspirations. You know, they're going to be this and they're going to be that for God and this for God. And they don't even have the basics down pat. And they're running around trying to, you know, be the superstar prophet or prophetess or show everybody how much knowledge they got. But 1 Corinthians 13 says that even if we give our bodies to be burned and we have all knowledge and we have so much faith that we can actually remove mountains and have not charity, we're nothing. Now, the name of this message is Be Courteous. That's the scripture, verbatim, quote unquote, be courteous. 1 Peter 3:8. Let me read it to you. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Show pity and empathy and concern for others. And then the last part of 1 Peter 3:8, be courteous. I tell you what, there's probably never been another day, an hour in mankind's history where there wasn't a greater need for people to be courteous, especially Christians. It doesn't matter if a lost person's courteous or not, in the sense that that's not going to save them anyway. But if you name the name of Christ, God is calling you to repent and lay down your life and let Christ be your first love again. If He is your first love, you're courteous and kind to others. One of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. The Bible says that as Jesus preferred us above Himself, we are to prefer others above ourselves. Philippians 2, let nothing be done, it says, through strife or vain glory. In other words, for self-glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Do you esteem others better than yourself? Is it time to repent and begin crying out to God to fill you with His love so that you're preferring others better than yourself and that you're not all about yourself? You see, so many who name the name of Christ, their whole life is about themselves. It's about getting this for themselves and getting ahead and getting that and getting more money and getting a bigger education. Why? Because they're living for the glory of self. They're not serving Christ. And they have all these excuses and all these reasons, but it's all rebellion, utter witchcraft. And it's the testimony, it's the fruit, it's the manifestation of a rebel, an apostate heart that doesn't know Christ and wouldn't know Him if He stood in your face. You're not broken and you're full of self, which means you're not full of the Savior. You're not full of the Spirit. You're not even Christ, even though you think you are because you went to an altar or you prayed a prayer. The Bible doesn't say that you're going to be saved if you pray a prayer. That might be the occasion whereby you give your life to the Lord, but that's what's going to save you. Jesus is going to save you, and He's got conditions. Like it or not, lay down your life or you don't know Him, and you're on your way to the lake of fire, and you'll never escape. Bottom line, I know a lot of people don't like me because I just say it like it is. I love you. I'm not patty caking with you. I don't have anybody to please but Jesus Christ. I have no other identity but than Him, the nail-scarred, risen Savior. I love Him supremely. I love Him more than I'll ever love you. If you don't like it, too bad. I'm not here to please you. If you want to stay where you're at, live in your little fairy tale delusion and mythical world, keep listening to the false teachers you're listening to. That'll never confront you in your sins, and you'll die and go to hell. with them. They're the blind leading the blind. But all people that are blind are absolutely willingly blind. Now, for the few who want to be right with God, who have a heart after God, who want to repent, who want to be right with God, I want you to listen to me, because you are the one. You're the apple of the Lord's eyes. He loves you. He's going to send strong delusion to the others, but He's going to bless you with His grace and His mercy and His compassion and the change that He wants to make in your life. And one of those changes is He wants you to be courteous to others. And the way you do that is you put Christ first. And when you put Christ first, you're going to start following Christ. And you're going to start elevating others above yourself. You're going to start reading Scripture, the hard Scriptures, every day and praying them into your life until God manifests that fruit in your life, if it takes the next 10 years. I think a good place to start would be Philippians 2. I just started reading it, verse 3 through 5. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory or self-glory, but in lowliness of mind." Low, get low. Go down, get low. Die. Die to yourself. Let the cross have its work in your life. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. This is talking specifically about the mind of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Treating others better than yourself is the manifest fruit of the love of God. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. It's always seeking to please God first and then to bless others, to prefer them above itself. And you know what? I just define the happiest person on the earth right there. The person whose life is given to the Lord, every thought is to please God. They follow His word studiously and diligently and exactly. They serve Him on His terms, not their own. They are full of His life and His love, and they live to bless others. They don't wait for everybody to call them. They're aggressively calling others, asking how they can pray for them, how they can bless them, how they can help them. It's called serving, friend. It's a lost art of serving. I've probably just described somebody that you've never even seen among all of those people claiming to be Christians around you. But that leaves you without excuse. You still have a Bible. You're still accountable. God calls you to die the death as a seed that goes into the ground and dies so that God can raise you up in His fruit with His life and love. Hello. We have the Apostle Paul. We have Peter. We have John. We have Jesus above all. We have the prophets. They lived this life. God's called you to live this life. Verse 4, Philippians 2, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Again, friend, let me encourage you, read Philippians 2, especially the first part, every day for the next week. If you really want to see God work in your life. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This mind, even preferring us above Himself, was in Christ Jesus. He left the eternal glory with His Father. He's divine. He created all that is. He came into this earth where He was rejected, knowing He was going to be rejected, to prefer you and I above Himself by coming to ransom our souls with His own blood and willingly lay down His life. If you're following Christ, your life is laid down for His glory, and you're loving others above yourself. You do not think of yourself first. You think of the Lord first, and you think of others second, and then maybe third, you think of yourself. You are kind. You walk in love. You're long-suffering. You seek for peace wherever possible, as much as lies in you. You endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3. You're compassionate to others. You love the brotherhood. You're pitiful and you're courteous. You're kind. You open doors for others. You say, "Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Please, thank you," when somebody does something for you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself if you don't. You ought to be ashamed of yourself and repent and start loving others. Die to yourself. You are the most miserable person on the earth if you're full of self. And it's never going to change. It's going to get worse. Be courteous to others. Now listen to this, 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion," all of us in the body of Christ. If you're full of self, you need to repent. You're not even in the body. Don't care if you were saved and led a million people to the Lord in the past. You've backslid. You're apostate. It doesn't matter if you don't think you are. You don't have the fruit of a true Christian if you're not walking in the love of God. And if you are walking in the love of God, it's because your life is laid down. And the fruit of the love of God is told to us in 1 Corinthians 13. When's the last time you read 1 Corinthians 13 and repented before the Lord? See, the reason why people don't have love for others is because Jesus is not their first love. They are not loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. If they were, they'd be loving their neighbor as himself. How do you want your neighbor to treat you? Have you ever had anybody serve you? Have you? Wow, it's amazing, isn't it? Doesn't it feel great? I mean, somebody that just said, brother, sister, I just want to serve you. Will you please let me buy this for you? Will you please let me just have half a day to serve you? Please. Come on, let's walk. Let me help you wash your car. Let me help you organize your house. Let me help you get that closet that you've been wanting to organize. Let me help you change that oil in your car. Let me help you go buy your children something. I know your son wants to go fishing, and would you please let me buy the fishing poles and the fishing equipment? You know, I'm just making things up. These are all creative ideas, friend. It's time to get out of our own worlds into the worlds of others. Find out what somebody else's need. Abandon yourself to Jesus. Wake up tomorrow morning or go tonight or today and find someone that you can serve and watch the blessing of God flow in your life and through your life. Don't wait for the Lord. He's already done everything for you, including coming to die for your sins. Sow the seeds of kindness and courteousness through the power of the Holy Ghost of God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, emulating, following him, even as he came and laid down his life for you. Hallelujah. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. 1 Peter 3:8. Be courteous. Now, let me read here. There's no end to the places we could go in Scripture. That's why it just absolutely, I'm sorry, friends, it absolutely boggles my mind how crass, how inconsiderate, how unloving, how uncourteous and uncouth, without manners and natural affection, people can be. I'm just blown away and they claim to know Christ. Are you kidding me? Jesus would never treat somebody like you treat others, if that defines you. You are despicable in the eyes of a holy God, and he is going to damn your soul to hell, and the proof of it is that you don't show the fruit of what he says is the fruit of the Holy Spirit abiding and what he produces in the life of the person who is abiding in Christ. You wouldn't know Jesus if he stood in your face if you don't have courteousness and consideration and love for other people. You do not know him, and it's time to repent, to wake up and come to the light before it's too late. The Bible says he that has friends must show himself friendly. Why do people always have to call you? Why can't you pick up the phone? I'm going to tell you why. Because you are full of yourself and you're full of sin and you're on your way to hell. You don't even know the Lord. That's the fruit of a godless life. You tell me you love God and you know God and you don't have love in your life. You are a lying devil. You can get as mad as you want. You can turn off this tape as much as you want, but you're not going to escape the conviction of the Lord. And if you do, it's because he has turned you over to a strong delusion and you're done. I'm fed up with this. I'm tired of it. Somebody has to always call you. They always have to cater to you. You got this entitlement spirit. Everybody owes you. I don't owe you anything but to love you. And one of the things I do, I'm called by God to do in loving you is to rebuke you. The Bible says that secret love is demonic. And it says that true love will rebuke others when it's needed. And the Lord put this in my spirit, and I know you're listening to this, my friend, for a reason. Because God's not finished with you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Don't give me this walk in love. Be nice. I'm being nice to you. I'm throwing you a life raft. Christ life raft. So you'll grab it, and you'll get right with God, and you'll really get saved in the authentic way. A full surrender in repentance before it's too late and you die and go to hell. And you're one of those many who stand before him and say, Lord, Lord, I did all these wonderful works. See, you did all of that for self. See, they're talking about works and gifts, not fruit. I'm talking about fruit because you see, you can go to hell having all the gifts or supposedly having all the gifts and good works, you know, that impress everybody, but it's not impressing God. You can't go to heaven without fruit. Does the fruit save you? No, but it's the evidence that you're truly right with God. The Bible says, repent and bring forth fruits meet for repentance, or consistent with true repentance. And then he says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Let your life be examined. Be honest before God and test your life to see whether or not you're truly in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. If you're not courteous, it's because you're full of self. You don't love other people. You love yourself. You spend all your time, money, and energy on yourself. You never go buy somebody lunch or give them something to bless them. Why? Because you're full of self. Now, I know, friends, that there's a few people that are listening that this does not really apply to, although we can all grow in this. I can definitely grow more to love God and love my neighbor. I'm learning this every day, but I'm not going to run from this truth. We're going to get this out in the open. What's there to hide? We got to come to the light. Bible says, he that covers or hides his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Now, praise God, some people are glad to hear this. Why? Because they're walking in the true love of God, and they're learning to lay down their life and lift up Christ in others. They're not feeding self. They don't spend their whole life feeding self, playing games and, you know, doing things just to please themselves, watching this show. Well, I'm going to get this. You know, you always hear this, I'm going to treat myself. It's all about self. Your whole life's about self. You want everybody celebrating you. It's time for you to die to yourself and start celebrating others, but serving them in the way God said to serve them. Putting them, preferring them above yourself, being courteous to others. That would do wonders in the world if Christian people that name the name of Christ, I should say, would begin to be courteous. The Bible commands you to be courteous. Brother, what time would you like me to pick you up? No problem. I'll see you at 9 o'clock. God bless you. Bye. Talk to you soon, okay? And then you're on time. If you're not, you're texting or calling or saying, hey, man, I'm on the way. Be there in a minute. Why? Because you consider others above yourself. That means you consider their time to be valuable. I mean, I've seen people name the name of Christ to do all kinds of stuff and don't even apologize. They mistreat other people like crazy. They're totally inconsiderate, and then they don't even go and apologize. I am just blown away. This just blows me away. The Bible tells us that this last day would be this way. The Bible says that the love of many would wax cold. The love of many would wax cold in the last day. And that is found in Matthew 24:10-13. The love of many is waxing cold, beloved. Don't let that be you. It's time to repent and cry out to the Lord to totally change you from the inside out. Now, my friend, if you have the guts to listen to this second part, it probably shows that you want to be right with God. Now, I know that I don't always minister correctly. I understand that. I hope you look past that and look into the will of God. We are talking about what Scripture teaches is the fruit of a true Christian person. Every Christian should be courteous. This series is called Be Courteous. God's called you to be courteous to others, to prefer them above yourself, to have compassion one of another in the body of Christ, to be all of one mind and one accord, to love the brethren, to be pitiful, and be courteous. 1 Peter 3:8. Let me ask you something. If you were accused of being a Christian today, would there be evidence enough to prove it? That's a good question. I want you to consider that. Now, in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, I'm going to begin in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Let it be genuine. Let it be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave unto that which is good, or to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. I want you to learn that. The Bible says in Philippians 2, as we talked about earlier, verse 3, 4, and 5, that the mind of Christ is to prefer others above yourself. Also, 1 Corinthians 13, love seeketh not her own. Love is not self-seeking. It seeks the betterment of others in a godly way. You don't want to go out and serve somebody the wrong way, like buy them something that is not going to help them. It's going to lead them into sin or something. You know, I learned that years ago in a practical way. You know, I used to go and try to help. Well, still do, but in a different way. I try to help people that had worn the street or, you know, needed food or something. Well, I gave this guy a $20 bill just to bless him, you know, and I was a little naive. I just got saved, and he walked right into the liquor store with that money and bottle of wine or liquor or something like that. Anyway, I think you get the point. Romans 12, verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. In other words, praying without ceasing, like we read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, distributing to the necessity of saints. Find out what somebody needs. Call up and you know somebody's struggling, just go pay their phone bill, pay their electric bill, hallelujah. Lift that burden like Jesus did when he came to the earth for you. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Jesus taught that we're to do as he did, we're to serve others. He demonstrated that by girding himself with a cloth and serving his disciples. He washed their feet. Now, literally washing feet, you know, probably not what people have a need of right now. We all have modern showers, you know, but finding out what they need, operating in that principle of serving others. Try it, friend. Bible says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Listen, there are so many people that name the name of Christ, but their whole life is all about getting more for self. And they're miserable. That's how the Laodiceans were. Learn, man. Just learn what the Bible says and believe it. Get in the Word, friend. You need an education in the Word. Revelation 3. Study to show yourself approved, the Bible says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Revelation 3 tells us about these Laodiceans. They were full of all kinds of material goods, but they were miserable. They were blind, miserable, naked, and undone in the eyes of a holy God, thinking they were saved. And there are millions upon millions, tens, hundreds of thousands of people in America claiming to be Christian, going to church or whatever their routine is, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They deny the reign of Christ in their life. And Jesus told us in Luke 19:27 that those that do not allow him to reign over their daily life are going to be slain down into hell for all eternity, thinking they're saved all the time. All the while being told by their false pastor, who is a wolf and a harlot, that everything's all right, never challenging them, never coming to the hard truths of Scripture, never preaching the Word to them out of the fear of the Lord and for serving God. Oh no, serving the people so that those people will reciprocate by continuing to patronize their little church business and tossing their money into their little basket on Sunday morning. That's what you call a false prophet. If a man's afraid to offend you, it's because he's serving you, not God. You better run for your life. You better get in the Word. You better gather with other believers who are living in the fear of God. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. So you get away from the things that don't please God, including coming out from among them, be ye separate. Come out of Babylon, God says, lest you receive of her plagues. Revelation 18:4, God is going to destroy Babylon in 1 hour. Now, that's speaking of the Catholic Church specifically, as is defined in Revelation 17 and 18, as clear as crystal. But it's also principally talking about the false Protestant and evangelical movements, which is almost all of them, are completely unbiblical, irreconcilable with New Testament Christianity. Come out or you're going to be destroyed with them. You see, the blind lead the blind into the ditch of eternal damnation. Anyone who's blind is willingly blind. The entrance of the Word of God brings light. We all have a Bible. You know, some people act like you owe them to just be run around by the nose by all their questions. I told some people that, I said, I don't owe you anything except to love you. Romans 13:8, and that means love you according to Scripture, which means to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. You don't control me by all your questions. I'm not going to be run around by the nose. I don't serve you. I serve Christ. You see, Jesus didn't answer all the questions that were asked him. He was silent on more than one occasion. Back to verse 11, Romans 12. Do you love the Lord, friend? Do you love his word? Are you wanting more of God in your life? Are you ready to ask God to forgive you and to repent and return to him as your first love? If you are, listen to what he says here. Not slothful in business. Christians ought to be the best employees that anyone could ever imagine. That ought to be the way you let your light shine. If you got a job, you ought to read what it says in Ephesians 6 about those that are employees. It's not called that in the King James. It's called something else. But you'll get the point. He addresses those that are masters or the bosses and those that are servants. Those that are masters and those who are the servants. And he says in verse 5, servants, that's employees, be obedient to them that are your masters or your bosses, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Wow. In singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the hearts. You see, all things you do, including being a good employee, is unto the Lord. Everything you do in this life should be as unto the Lord, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Then in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, "And that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without," those that are not saved. "Let your light shine by what you do, and that you may have lack of nothing." Christians should be the absolute best employees on the face of the earth, and Christ's life should shine through them in their meekness, their wisdom, their quietness, their humility, and they're the best servants around. That's how it ought to be. Colossians 4:5, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." Verse 6, Colossians 4, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. People can see humility, they can see love, they can see kindness, they can also see bitterness, they can also see selfishness. They can also see the disposition of a self-serving person. And yet we see that happening in many who claim to be Christians. And they're the most obnoxious people you ever met. They have no courteousness or kindness or compassion for anyone because they're all about self. They're not really saved, is the bottom line. They don't have the fruit of a true believer. You see, if you're a true born-again believer and you're abiding in Christ and ready to meet Him, you have the fruit of love. And that covers all this other stuff, you see. Because when you love God, you're full of His love. It's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and you put Him first and others and then you, in that order. And that's a good way to test whether or not you're really right with God. Not sloth, back to Romans 12, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, fervent in spirit. Come on, it's time to have a resurrection life of Christ in us and stop being so drab. Gosh, we should be so full of joy. We should be rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8, because of Christ, we have the victory. The joy of the Lord is our strength. All right, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, given to hospitality. Give it to hospitality. When's the last time you invited people over and cooked for them? Gosh, we're missing so much fun. I know that's not the reason to do it. See, because it's not all about self, and maybe I shouldn't even said that first. But man, the early church met house to house daily. It broke bread, fellowship, prayed for each other, and continued steadfastly in the word, the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. And to Acts 2. So given to hospitality. And that has to do with sipping tea. I believe that's what we get out of the Greek rendering. I had it written in the margins normally because it's the Greek rendering. That's interesting. Somebody ought to look that up. And again, that is Romans chapter 12, and that is verse 13. And while we're talking, I'm just curious enough to look that up, see if I got that from here. Distributing necessary. Hospitality, entertaining strangers, hospitality. Anyway, somebody can dig into that. For some reason, I had sipping tea next to that, whatever that means. All right, so verse 14, bless them. Romans 12, 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Let me tell you something, friend. I want to encourage you to do this. Memorize scripture. First of all, get rid of all your new versions. Tear them up, destroy them, burn them. Sink them underwater, whatever you want to do so nobody else gets them. And get a King James Bible. It's time to get rid of all the artificial, corrupted, demonic versions of the Bible. If you need more information on that, go to Bible Versions on the SafeguardYourSoul.com site. Just go search box for Bible Versions. There's a search box on the right toward the top, and it's on SafeguardYourSoul.com. All right, so get a King James Bible, begin writing scripture on index cards. You got to get the character of Christ in your life, friend. It's got to manifest. If you're going to be a disciple, you're laying down your life, it is going to manifest. And part of that is studying to show yourself approved daily and to let your heart retain or memorize the Word of God. Proverbs 4:4. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Proverbs 4:21, etc., etc. The Bible tells us how to be successful and how to be prosperous in the real sense, that is, in God's eyes. Not in the world's eyes. A lot of people misuse that verse, Joshua 1:8, to get people running after the riches of this world, which we're warned against over and over and over in the New Testament. Not to be coveting the things of this world. They're all going to perish with the using. Naked came you into this world, naked you shall return. Listen, that's 1 Timothy 6. We're talking about the true riches of Christ. We're talking about true success and true prosperity as God measures it. And it's in knowing Christ and having hit the gold, blessing, and riches of His character, His fruit produced in your life. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe it to according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Having good success and prosperity has to do with getting the word of God in your daily life, getting into it so it gets into you and begins to produce the fruit of a true Christian life. Verse 15, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate." When somebody's going through something hard and difficult, get down low with them and serve them and bless them and be there for them. And just be there to listen. God, who inhabits eternity, dwells with the lowly. According to Isaiah 57:15, follow Christ. Do as he does. Do as the Bible shows he did and does. Verse 17, Romans 12. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So, he that has friends must show himself friendly, right? That's what it says in Proverbs 18:24. I want to encourage you to begin being a good friend to others. Don't let everything revolve around you, about your place, your clothes, your life, your things. No, serve others. Get down low and be a blessing to them. And let me tell you, the joy of the Lord is going to fill your heart when you do. The love of God is going to increase in your life. This is what God's called us to do. And some of us are so miserable, even though we got money to spend here and there and do everything. And yet, why are we miserable? We're full of self. We're not following Christ. And we think we are. It's time to die to yourself and let the Savior reign in your life. And when Jesus is reigning in your life, you're all about helping others. You're all about worshiping Him first and lifting up others above yourself. That's the biblical truth. Proverbs 18:24, "Therefore you're becoming a good friend." Now, there's a lot of people that they want good friends, but are they concentrating on being a good friend? We all want a good friends, but are we learning to be good friends? Are we serving others? Or are we serving self? Proverbs 18:24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." See, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. How do you show yourself friendly? You be courteous to others. 1 Peter 3:8. You prefer them above yourself. It's not always about you. It's what we should get in the habit of asking people, "Hey, what would you like to do, man?" "Okay, you want to go do that? All right, hey, let's do it. What do you want to go eat?" You know, and if they can't come up with something, give them suggestions. It shouldn't always have to be about what we want. See, the Bible says a friend, here's another characteristic of a friend. Proverbs 17:17, "A friend loveth at all times." A friend loveth at all times. Meditate on that. Proverbs 17:17, memorize it. You see, a good, true, godly friend loves at all times. They love when you're doing good. They love also when you're having a hard time. And that's what we read about a minute ago in Romans 12. You see, a friend, a good friend, a godly friend loves at all times. At all times. When somebody's going through something hard, maybe they've fallen morally. Where are you? Are you so self-righteous and lost yourself that you forsake them because, God forbid, they sinned? Oh, gosh. It just blows me away at how so many people that claim to be a Christian, I don't mean to be rude. It's horrible that this is true, but it is. People claiming to be Christian, they find out some other brother or sister sinned, and they become this self-righteous bigot. Oh, gosh, I can't hang around with them. You ought to be running to help them, the Bible says, to restore them. Now, if they're not going to repent, that brings it into a new realm where you have to disfellowship with them. But I'm talking about a brother or sister that confesses a sin to you. I mean, come on. If they weren't repentant, why would they even bother? Why would they be convicted and want to bring it out into the light and confess it to you? Come on. You know, so be there for them. A friend loves at all times. Be there for them. Tell them, yeah, that was sin. You're right. That displeased the Lord, but God has compassion. And, you know, pour the oil in the wound, not salt. Don't hurt the wound. Don't hurt them while they're down. Help them. Come on. A friend loves at all times. Somebody going through something difficult, a financial difficult, well, pray them through. Be there. If you can't help them financially because you're going through a hard time, pray them. Pray for them. Call them up, you know, once, twice a day and pray with them. You don't want to bother them if it's too much, but, you know, be there for them. You get the idea. Hallelujah. Proverbs 27:9, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Sometimes hearty counsel is just sitting there listening. You know, we're to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James chapter 1, that we ought to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to wrath. Quick to listen, have two ears and one mouth. Perhaps we should be listening twice as much as we're speaking. I believe it's true that if you take the time to listen, you earn the right to speak. Sometimes serving somebody else and being courteous to them, being a good friend to them, is simply sitting there listening and being tuned in and concerned prayerfully for their lives. Let's finish with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This is a profound passage. It really, really severely rebuked me when I was a young Christian and I began reading this, because I believe it really measures our integrity or lack thereof. Keep thy foot, verse 1, Ecclesiastes 5. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. See, some people are so crass and in darkness that they don't even realize what they're doing. They don't even stop to realize, they can't even be touched by the Holy Spirit's conviction to realize that they're not being courteous and loving others as God said they should. Verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. We should memorize that. Let thy words be few. Let thy words be few. I like also Colossians 4:6. We should memorize this. Every believer listening to me should memorize Colossians 4:6. If you're driving down the road, if you're listening, I hope you have your Bible open, but if you're unable to, please write these verses down. The end of Ecclesiastes 5:2. Let thy words be few. Remember where it is and what it says exactly verbatim. Also Colossians 4:6, which says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. If you memorize it, it'll become a part of your life. Verse 3, Ecclesiastes 5, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Wow. How do we know a fool? By a multitude of words. A multitude of words. That's how we know who is a fool. Somebody that's full of words. Listen to this. Proverbs, written also by Solomon, verse 27 and 28. This is a great passage to memorize also. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. He's sparing with his words. He's not plentiful, but sparing. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Praise the Lord. May the Lord make us of an excellent spirit, like Joseph was, like Daniel was, like Moses was, like David was, like our Lord was, and John and Paul and Peter. Hallelujah. Of an excellent spirit. Hallelujah. We should covet that. Lord Jesus, please do your work in us. You're the potter, we're the clay, and make us of an excellent spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. One more time. Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, when he doesn't say anything. You know, there's a great verse we should pray every day. I tell you, I've been praying this one every day for years, and God has really heard that prayer to a great degree. I definitely know He's not finished working on me, that's for sure, by a long shot. But I tell you what, this prayer, how many times have you said something like myself and just wanted to bite your tongue off after you said it in your life? Well, that doesn't happen too much anymore to me. I'm not saying it never happened, but it's rare now because I've been praying this prayer. I want to encourage you to pray this prayer. Write this down. Psalm 141. Verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Cry out to God to set a watch before your mouth and to keep the door of your lips. Watch what God will do. It is absolutely a blessing. Amazing. Psalm 141, 3. God bless you, friend. We're finishing up here. Verse 4, Ecclesiastes 5, our last passage. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. In other words, you better pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Ecclesiastes 5:6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore, Why should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. One more time before we leave, friend, in this segment, I want to encourage you, cry out to God to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day this week, to read Philippians 2, especially the first few verses, every day this week, to cry out to God in prayer to make these the word flesh in your life, to bring it about, to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your precious soul, and to be courteous. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.